Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 5th, year of our Lord, 2024, and this is the sixth Sunday of Easter. It's an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast today, and I pray that our time together will be a time of grace and peace, a time of worship and renewal. And so let's begin. As we do around here, we begin in a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. We celebrate life by taking in the breath of life, simply breathing together. So let's do that right now. Just draw in a big breath and let it go. And take in another breath. And not just hold it, but savor it. Consider it. You and I alive together in this moment as we prepare to worship God together, to give thanks and praise to God for every good and perfect gift that comes from God. And so as you breathe, turn your attention toward the heavens. Look toward the sky. Maybe even hold up your hands in prayer and praise. And call to mind the people that you love most. Call to mind some of the things in your life that you are most grateful for. Give thanks to God for all of it. This precious gift that is your life. And in this posture, in this spirit, with this attitude, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin just to the left margin of where you found today's podcast. Right below that line, you'll see, I think the header says sermon notes. I should know by now, but you'll find it. Go ahead and click on it or tap on it, and the bulletin will come up, and we can begin. Faithful God, make our hearts bold with love for one another. Pour out your Spirit upon all people, that we may live your justice and sing in praise the new song of your marvelous victory. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from John's gospel in the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's join in a spirit of prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us. And we just call to you in this moment, this time of reflection. We pray that you'll speak to us, that you might help us understand what it means to be your friend, that you'd save us from distraction and misinterpretation so that we could truly be blessed by the gift that is this good word. We pray all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, as we begin together today, I want you to do this. I want you to take a breath like we do at the beginning of the podcast. Maybe close your eyes, and then I want you to call to mind your friends, your very best friends, your short list. And for a lot of people, that is one or two people. Your real friends. These are the friends that have been there for every celebration, and they've been there for every heartache. They've loaned you money when you needed it, gave you a ride when you needed it. You did something embarrassing. Or maybe you said something very rude or offensive to them and they forgave you. Those friends. The tried and true, been through the thick of it kind of friends. You think of that friend and your relationship with that friend and what it's meant. And then hear the words of Jesus as he refers to his disciples as friends. You're not servants. You're not students to me anymore. We've been through too much together. We're friends. And what do friends do? Well, I just covered it, right? Friends are there in the celebrations, and friends are there in the hard times, and friends forgive one another. It's one of the hallmarks of friendship, is grace and forgiveness. That's powerful. In many ways, this is just a very simple reading. I don't know that we do any justice to it if we try to pick it apart too much. But to simply say, on the night before he died, Jesus gathered with his disciples in an upper room, certainly the beginning of our communion narrative. But in the broad setting of John's Gospel, chapters 14 through 17, while he gathered with his disciples on the night before he died, he taught them. He told them just how much he loved them. He washed their feet. He poured himself out for them so that they would be filled with his love. And on the next day, when life turned upside down and became incredibly scary and chaotic, and they were filled with grief and fear, when they gathered again in that room, they could find strength in every word that he said. As he reviewed for them the miracles that they'd done together, that they'd seen him do, the risk that they took, the miles that they walked, and the commissioning that he gives them to go out and do the same. And one of the brilliant things about Jesus, the Son of God, he doesn't call them to do anything that he hasn't already done. He doesn't ask his friends to do anything more than he's already done. He calls them to love. And if to love means to be like Jesus, there's a lot to this love. It's a beautiful gospel. It's incredible good news. And to me, makes for rich opportunities for evangelization, especially among our friends or acquaintances who might be hurting, who might be like the disciples on the brink of something very hard happening in their lives, or maybe they're in the thick of it. To be able to come alongside someone who is just struggling with the questions of life and why it is that bad things happen to good people and the violence and the suffering in the world. And we can point to Jesus, the one who suffered alongside us, the one who endured injustice just like we do. And we can see it in his hands and in his side. And we can hear it in his words. Love one another. That's it. There's nothing more. What's the meaning of life? Where is the true treasure? It's in love. And it's a kind of thing that is now and forever. Now, there's other evangelical messages out there. I mean, yet just yesterday, literally just yesterday, I was in the car and stopped at a traffic light. And I heard this loud voice, and I thought maybe it was someone's car radio, but I looked at the intersection, and it was this guy with a loudspeaker and a big sign, and I don't really remember exactly what the sign was, but it's the kind of message that was, believe in Jesus or else. Like, confess his name or you're going to burn in hell. And I know we could argue about the theological validity of that statement, but just hold it in mind and then read this. Maybe there's a lot more going on. Maybe there's a lot more good news than this bold street preacher was offering. Because when we sit quietly, when we come alongside, when we abide with one another and we say, boy, have you considered this? What would it mean to be connected to the vine that is the true love of God? What would it be like? What kind of life could I have if I was filled up with that love? And how could I share it with my friends and family? That's just right there in the first few sentences of this chapter. It's not threatening. It's beautiful and inviting. It's the kind of language someone uses with their friends so that they might go out and tell their friends and family as well. I guess my encouragement for all of us today is spend some time here. Chapters 14 through 17 in John, there's so much strength and encouragement in these verses. So much, like, just life-affirming good stuff. That if you're struggling right now or someone in your life is, I mean, that's just kind of life. This is a way of abiding in the vine, staying connected to this story so that we bring it into the here and now. And maybe I'll just finish up by going line by line in today's reading, beginning at verse 9, as Jesus speaking, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Find life in the love of God. Make your home in the kind of love that Jesus offers. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That's how you live the life of Christ. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may abide in you and that your joy may be complete. Abiding is like to live in. I want to live in the love of God. That's where I find my home. It's not something I do on Sunday. It's how I live. And then we have this important, very famous commandment in the 12th verse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In the context of the story, it is, friends, remember everything that we've done. And everything that how I've loved you, how I've taught you, the kindness I've extended to you, the forgiveness I've extended, that's the life you are to live. And you will see, because this is how it's going to go, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then here it is. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. It's a constant invitation into this friendship. And it's doing what he does. Never asks you to do anything that he himself hasn't done. Well, what has he done? Well, get yourself a cup of tea, flip back to the first chapter of John and find out what he's done. And you read it all the way through, not to completely grasp it with your mind and figure it out, but to let it fill you up with life. So that when you get to near the end of the story and John says, I've told you this story so that you would come to know that Jesus is Lord. And what kind of Lord is he? Jesus is this eternal, deep, best friend. Not in any kind of trivial way do we refer to him as a friend. He is our Lord and Savior, and he is the one that knows us. He knows everything about us and forgives us. Forgives everyone, forgives the one who betrays him, has breakfast with him on the seashore. It's a beautiful, beautiful story filled with eternal good news that I pray that each and every one of us can draw strength from on this day. It is, as I love to say, it is good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. And we confess there are many times when we don't abide with you. That we take our friendship with you for granted. But we come to you in this moment and we seek your face and we ask for your forgiveness. We ask to rekindle our friendship. And we give you thanks, O God, for every good and perfect gift that we receive from you. And in this spirit of thanksgiving, God, we humbly ask for your help in our own lives and in the lives of those around us, that you would survey this good world of yours and person by person, soul by soul, bring your blessing so that the world would come to know that you are Lord. Not the ones who imagine that theirs is the kingdom and the power and the glory, but yours. And you know each and every one of us, God. You know the joys and the concerns of our hearts. You know the things that are going on in our lives. Oftentimes we write them down, or we run them around in our minds in a loop. Think about them when we can't sleep at night. But you call us not to worry, but to pray. And so we take these lists of ours, O God, and we present them to you and fashion them into prayers. And so as we turn them over to you, God, we make quiet space in which to listen for your voice and to hope for a sense of your presence. and we break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we ask, hear us as we share a prayer that goes by your name. Join us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, may these words be true for us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Find peace in God, our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.